Surprise, I ain't dead yet. Here's a comment you haven't heard before. That one too, but in case some of you think that I'm wearing the same red jacket all the time until it stands up by itself, I have about a dozen of these jackets. Just thought I'd tell you that. My old alma mater jacket. My wife bought about a dozen of them when we were up at Stanford. So, I do change it once in a while. Now, well, it's obvious. I want you to use the first half hour the way we normally do. I talk to my congregation the first half hour. We take your reservations for the cathedral next Sunday. Your expressions of faith. So get on the phone and do it right now. All right, now this first half hour I dedicate to my congregation. We'll be here for 4 hours. But this is the time you make reservations for the cathedral next Sunday. And why don't you make your first trip if you've been listening to the teaching? Not a big deal. We just want to know that you are coming and knowing that you are coming to a college-level teaching. And you come accordingly. You call, you make a reservation, we mail you a pass. We need the calls in by Wednesday noon. So come on, make your reservation for the cathedral next Sunday. Now, I don't want you to stop calling. But I want to read something to you. So don't stop calling. I got a ring in my microphone down here, so somebody's messing with knobs upstairs. And I'll try to work with it. We went back on in Hartford, Connecticut this morning. Channel 61 in Hartford, Connecticut. On for an hour. A replay of one of our Sunday morning messages. It was 7 o'clock our time, I think. 10 o'clock Hartford time. And Sonia, Connecticut. See, we were on in Connecticut when I came here. They didn't have satellites in those days. They always were on a week's delay. And Hartford was one of our anchor stations. We went back this morning. And Sonia, Connecticut, this is a miracle. I was flipping the channel and saw your face. I can hardly talk. I'm so excited. I'll watch and call every Sunday. Thank you for the programming. This is too wonderful for words. See, there are people that like me. That's just the beginning. Danbury, Connecticut. Thank you for making it this morning. I was very happy to see you on Channel 61 again. Pour it on. You and Mrs. Scott look like $1 million. I'll call Channel 61 to thank them too. Sanford, Connecticut. I haven't seen him since the 80s. I'm so happy to see him. I fell on my knees to thank God he's back. I've learned so much. You don't know how many people out here are praying for you. Please keep teaching. Keep teaching strong messages. We need them. New Haven, Connecticut. I'm calling from New Haven, Connecticut. I saw Dr. Scott this morning. I'm so glad to see you back. I was speechless to see you. I'm so happy. You realize this is coming out of Connecticut, Yankees. I mean, you know, it's like breaking the edge off an icebreaker for him to say hello. Or an ice glacier. I was speechless to see you. I'm so happy. I'll reinstate my membership. You look so well. And Sonia, Connecticut. It's wonderful to see Doc. I used to watch him, and it's so wonderful to see him. Gee, I've got someplace to go if you Californians don't want to get on the phone. Yeah. East Hartford, Connecticut. I got a live operator when I called, and I'm surprised. I was channel surfing, and I'm very glad to see Dr. Scott is back on. I think he's a great teacher. Again, thank you. East Hampton, Connecticut. It's wonderful to see Dr. Scott's face here in Connecticut again. Please stay on. Stanford, Connecticut. My soul rejoices that Dr. Scott is back again. God bless you, Dr. Scott. Please mail me the pulpit. About 15 years since I saw Dr. Scott. I'm so happy he's back. Lebanon, Connecticut. Hello, and he gives me his name. I'm calling from Connecticut. You're not even calling. You know, you just want to listen. Just one, it's all right as long as when I stop talking, the music starts, you better get on the phone. I mean, you know, I got some friends I can go see. It proves it. I see them by television, though, just like you. Now, if they're going to call like that for 1 hour in Connecticut, you folks in California ought to express some appreciation for the time that you have for the teaching. And by the way, I don't know what language I'm not speaking. Many of you call to watch the teaching every night from 10 to 11, and something doesn't register. You can go to the home page on the internet, and there's a couple of surfing buttons you push. You can pick us up off satellite 24 hours a day. We're on GE3 transponder 20, 24 hours a day. We have our own special direct TV network. I had a guy call last week saying he can install them for less than $200. And I'm going to get the number and the area. And also know that the people that began installing with us are offering a special reduced rate. Everybody that's regular King's Houses ought to have one of the direct, one of our small dish KU bands. We're on shortwave. Go to Radio Shack. Buy a shortwave radio. It's less than $100. You can pick us up anywhere in the world on half a dozen different frequencies. We're on all the time. But here from Lebanon, just wanted to call and let Dr. Scott know I'm very glad to see he's back on TV. Northampton, Massachusetts. Please keep teaching. I'd like a copy of the pulpit. Why doesn't everybody ask for this? I mean, you know, it's got a price on it, $5, but I can give it away free. All you got to do is ask for it. This pulpit will be sent to you. And if you don't want to be on the mailing list, don't say so. Because if you don't tell us that you want to be on the mailing list, we won't put you on the mailing list. We're not giving this away to try to have a gimmick to get you on the mailing list so we can beat you to death. To send us money for everything from space exploration to feeding the hungry. If you don't want to be on the mailing list, you don't have to say anything. If you want to be on the mailing list, you have to tell us. But we'll send you the magazine free. Northampton, Massachusetts. I turned the TV on and I saw Dr. Scott. I haven't seen Dr. Scott for years and I'm happy I found him again. Danbury, Connecticut. I can't believe it. My brother called me and said Doc was back on TV. He looks like $1 million and so does his wife. Blowfield, Connecticut. It's wonderful to see Dr. Scott again. I haven't seen him for a long, long time. Springfield, Massachusetts. I'm watching Channel 61. Thank you. I'm so glad to say I'm watching on 61. Every TV is on in the house and it's tuned to Channel 6 on cable. Or 61. You're just beautiful. Tell me some more lies. Come on. Milford, Connecticut. Great to see you, Dr. Scott. I haven't seen you in years. You look really good. I'll keep listening. East Haven, Connecticut. Watched years ago during the pyramid teaching. He's a brilliant man, an excellent teacher. The message was wonderful. East Haven, Connecticut. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor. For being back on Channel 6, they say, which is the cable company, but it's Channel 61, here in Connecticut. I just saw you for the first time this week. I'm praying for you and Melissa. It's so good to have you back. Bridgeport, Connecticut. Just calling to let you know I'm enjoying the program. I watched you 7 or 8 years ago and then lost track. I just happened to find you today. Thank you. Middletown, Connecticut. I've never heard you before, but I like the way you contemporize Scripture. Anyone who's hearing you is put in the time frame of the Scriptures, and you demonstrate that the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You're a fine scholar, and I appreciate that. You're from Newtown, Connecticut. I'm marching Dr. Gene Scott. I work for WHCT-TV, Channel 18 out of Hartford. Give me his name. I haven't seen you since 1980. So good to see you on TV. Hartford, this is the first time I've seen Dr. Scott, and this is a great message. Thank you for the program. Waterbury, Connecticut. Good to see Dr. Scott again. I really enjoyed the message. Meridian, Connecticut. Thank you for the TV program here in Connecticut. Glastonbury, Connecticut. I'd like a copy of the message today. It's a wonderful message. Meriden, Connecticut. Years ago, I saw you in Hartford. Then you went off, and I thought you were ill. I'm so glad to see you're okay and back on TV in Connecticut. Torrington, Connecticut. How's he been doing all these years? Where are they? I want to know, singers. That's going to date this person. He looked good. I've missed him. He preaches the gospel, and I've missed him. I want to hear. I want to know. All right, let it go. You know, the response from Dallas was pretty nice, too, this morning. Dallas says, I love to see Dr. Scott and Melissa sing together. I love to hear Melissa sing Peace in the Valley. I've had a tough week. Your message really reached me, and thank you. Dallas, Texas. I've been praying for God to help me, and then I came across this program. I just want to call and tell Dr. Scott, thank you so much. You have no idea how much this means to me. I have to get a copy of this program. Thank you, she says. Plano, Texas. We've been watching Dr. Scott for 4 weeks. It is absolutely wonderful to have someone preach so clearly. Plano, Texas. I like the ancient languages in the message. I enjoy these portions immensely. I'm not a very religious person, but I really enjoy the presentations on the language. Corsicana, Texas, I've gotten so much from the teaching. And then again, people just surface. I don't know what planet they've been living on. Says, I can't believe I'm seeing Dr. Scott again. How many years have I been in Dallas now? I've watched him since junior high, and now I'm 38 years old. Just found him again. It's great to see him. He looks wonderful. See, he got older and I didn't. Mesquite, Texas. I'm just calling to say I'm enjoying the program. I used to listen to him over 15 years ago and just rediscovered him. I'm 71 years old and I'm starting to study for some exams. Good for him. Dallas. The end of the program said, call in if I enjoyed the program. I sure did. Voice of Faith said, are you aware the program's on at the same time every Sunday? I am now. Thank you. The calls keep coming in. And thank you. But when I read, you don't call. Play, I want to know. You know, I still get amazed at this. There's a man who called from Los Angeles. I'm totally blown away. Is this the same Dr. Gene Scott I used to see 20 years ago? Yes, the voice of faith said. Well, I was flipping the channels, watching football games, and came across him. Don't even know which channel. The voice of faith questioned to get his best guess. He said, I saw K-Doc in the bottom of the screen, in the corner. I'm switching from football games to Dr. Scott for good. 20 years it took him to get. Now, tonight we're making an exception again, and we'll be playing the service as it occurred this morning in the cathedral. It'll be an hour or so from now. about an hour and 45 minute service. So somewhere shortly after 9 o'clock, we'll bring up the curtain and take you into the cathedral for this morning service, unedited as it happened. Here from Pasadena, thank you for the prayer chapel at King's House 2, that beautiful prayer chapel. Vallejo, how wonderful it was to be on the phones last night. Thank you very much, Mrs. Scott, for the chapel. It's so nice to have the chapel to pray and meditate in. And last night it was very inspiring to sit in the chapel like that, proclaiming Jehovah Shalom and Jehovah Pelah, the God of impossibility. My wife wants to start a prayer meeting, not some regular edition. Just this week, she's asking people to come and join her in prayer in the chapel. Prayer for my health. What time do you want it, baby? Well, what's the matter with 7 o'clock? There'll be voices of faith here that will be answering the phone. I might even be live. I mean, where she goes, I like to go. But she wants to conduct a special prayer meeting in the chapel. Together we'll win this battle. About 2 months from now, I'll take another scan before radiation starts. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it didn't find anything? Yes, sir. Now I'm going to play one more song and then I'm going to do some teaching. But I need a lot more reservations to reach the quota for the Cathedral Sunday. And you regulars know it's tabernacle time. If you don't know what that means, then you're not a regular and you shouldn't participate. And there are other commitments that you make by telephone. This is a dialogue relationship. For 30 years, or going on 30 years, I began my 30th year in November. No, you're not hearing things. They punched the wrong button up there. But I began 30 years this November. And for these 29 years, I've refused to conduct a program where you as an audience look on and not participate. I talk to the camera as though it's you. And we have this dialogue. And I'm going to be talking in a few minutes and teaching, but it's your talk time now. And you get on the phone and make your reservations, and the members of my congregation across the whole nation and the world, you have commitments that you reiterate every week, so do it now. Okay. No more calls. In midweek festivals, I've dealt with this, but I want to return to it at the risk of boring some of you. This marvelous Old Testament professor, Walter Brueggemann, The Psalms and the Life of Faith. He's McPheeter Professor of Old Testament at Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia. He has a chapter and he entitles in this book, Prayer as an Act of Daring Dance. Now, I've been emphasizing for weeks, really coming against the traditions that dominate American Christianity, that violate the principle that Paul, who I think wrote Hebrews, says, were to come into his presence with boldness. And that word means candor and openness, like a family member. It was first used as a special right of free speech, restricted only to the full citizens of the polis, in that period of Greek history when the polis was considered, the state was considered divine, and only full citizens had the right of free speech. That word is used and translated boldness. Brueggemann says, in the Old Testament relationship to God, and likewise the New, that's why we call it Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant. In the Old Testament relationship, you know, it's hard to free people from traditions that make void the Word of God. In the Old Testament, relationship to God is best understood under the notion of covenant. I've been teaching you that. Tzedekah, the word for righteousness, has no meaning, no biblical meaning, apart from persons in covenant. You have tzedekah when you keep the covenant. He gave an old covenant to the Old Testament saints, and he kept it, and they didn't. We now have a new covenant based on the sacrifice and the blood and the resurrection of Christ. There's no concept of covenant apart from persons who give it, receive it, and keep it. This is so whether God's covenant partner is creation. Well, is there a covenant with the creation? Sure is. Romans 8 says the whole creation groans until the curse be lifted from it. This is so whether God's covenant partner is creation, the nations, Israel, or the individual person, you and me. I take the metaphor of covenant in the broadest possible way to refer to a relationship that matters intensely to both parties. In such an interaction, like a marriage covenant, suppose the matter intensely to both parties. I take the metaphor of covenant in the broadest possible way to refer to a relationship that matters intensely to both parties. In such an interaction, the action of either party may place the other at risk. In serious covenanting, say that again. In such an interaction between persons making covenant, the action of either party may place the other at risk. And the covenant's serious. Now, it goes without saying, in English we have a sort of restricted word for a kind of covenant where one person writes all the terms. Last will and testament. That's why we call the Bible in its two sections the Old Testament and the New Testament. God doesn't have to relate to us at all. He does so by covenant. He writes all the terms. One-sided dictation. But nonetheless, when the covenant is established in a relationship that matters intensely to both parties, the action of either party may place the other at risk in serious covenanting. And each party submits to some governance, some redefinition by the covenantal partner. Under the old covenant, in fact, God didn't take too much risk, but just in case, he said, you keep it, you live. Well, he had a risk of some real sorry sucker keeping it, and you'd have to let him live. When you make a covenant, you're bound. It puts you at risk. This may seem so obvious that it's a truism, but if it is a truism, it is one that was asserted in Israel only with great struggle. And still today in Christianity, nobody wants to accept this. That God has self-bound himself by his word. I've been preaching for months now. The price that God paid to exercise his love, walled away by his own covenantal integrity. For sin comes death. He could not embrace we sinners without compromising his covenant. He was at risk. And what a risk. He transcended the risk by bearing the consequence in his own son, in his own body on the tree. But there you see the extent to which God will go to keep his own word to his own hurt, which is the basis for faith. We usually won't do that. God does. The struggle is still underway among us in our theological understanding. The notion that God may be at risk in the covenant relationship is a subversive idea for most of modern theology. This conviction subverts the contractual quid pro quo theology of the ancient Near East, and it intends to subvert all scholastic notions of theology that put God well beyond all the issues and risks. God, who's immutable, above the ebb and flow of relationship. He uses illustrations of God opening his mouth at risk. And a partner who is the recipient of the covenant, taking the covenant serious. He calls it, in the case of David, serene chutzpah in 2 Samuel 7. David's prayer. It follows the oracle of the delivery of a covenant through Nathan as the spokesman of God, in which Yahweh has signed a blank check to David and to David's family forever. I wonder how many in the sound of my voice made a covenant with some love partner, and you wish you had cut your arm off instead. You know, a case of coyote love where you wake up in the morning and gnaw your arm off to get free. Yahweh signed a blank check to David through Nathan. The promise of verses 14 to 16 in 2 Samuel 7 is the most incredible promise of God in the entire Old Testament. He made a promise to David through his son that was to last as long as there was a sun in the heavens and stars in the sky. This oracle, or word, or covenant from God in the mouth of Nathan, is an invitation to the dance that is offered only rarely, and one must respond appropriately. He's sort of cute here. One must be a bit coy, not too eager, and communicate pleasure without being excessively grateful. And David's fully up to the challenge. He makes a shrewd response in 2 Samuel 7 to this blank check covenant, which can be summarized. Oh God, you shouldn't have. But since you did, I will count heavily on it. Let me read that again. Oh God, you shouldn't have. But since you did, I will count heavily on it. God, you shouldn't have laid all your... You know, you could have redeemed us without putting our sicknesses on Jesus, too. I mean, what we need the most was the barrier of our sins removed. Now, this is Scott, not Brueggemann. And that wall between us that our sins created, and our separation from the source of life as a result of the sin of Adam, it created that problem with your covenant, for sin comes death. Whew. I'm so glad you laid my sins upon your Son, and He was perfect enough to stand in for all of us. And the penalty of sin, which is death, revealed in the outpouring of His blood. And you kept your word to Him and raised Him from the dead. And my Lord God, that's enough. You died for my sins. Oh God, you shouldn't have added the musar, the punishment, to quote Isaiah 53. The musar, the punishment designed to restore something that was lost. He died for my sins, that's enough. You shouldn't have done this, the musar, for my shalom, which is health and well-being, was upon Him. Oh God, you shouldn't have. In addition to laying my transgressions and iniquities upon Him, as Isaiah 53 says, you shouldn't have made Him pick up, nasa in the Greek, or Hebrew rather, my sicknesses, hali, wrongly translated griefs in the King James, hali. Physical sickness. Oh God, you shouldn't have. You didn't have to. The big problem was my sins. That was my cup running over when you laid my sins on Him. You shouldn't have made Him pick up my sicknesses, Holly. And my pains, macabre, wrongly translated sorrows in the King James. Macabre. You shouldn't have smitten Him with negi, leprosy, which makes one group of Orthodox Jewry think that Messiah will be a leper. You put my sins on Him. You made Him the scapegoat to silence the devil. That was enough. More than enough. Oh God, you shouldn't have added the sicknesses and laid on Him our sicknesses and pains. And you shouldn't have said, with His bruises, we are healed. But since you did, I will count heavily on it. That's what David did. He took the covenant seriously. Oh, who am I? Listen to him. Who am I and what is my house that how thou hast brought me hitherto? Oh, God could say, thank you for telling me. Remember, I'm the one that took you, as Nathan said. I took you from the sheep cot, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have made of thee a name like unto the names of the great men in the earth. Now that should have been enough. But now, he makes this new covenant mind-boggling. His kingdom will be forever. And David quite rightly says, who am I and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And oh my God, you shouldn't have. But since you did, I will count heavily on it. I don't have to go much further with Brueggemann. I'd like to. But David has the designation of a man after God's own heart. That tells me God wants old Gene here to be a man after his own heart and say to him, you shouldn't have put my sicknesses on him. But since you did, you shouldn't have put my cancer on him. But since you did, I will count heavily on it. Let's do it right now. Get the elements. We're going to the table of the Lord. Why are there two elements here? Why is there bread? If sin's all that's at issue, all you need is this cup. Through this cup, I look to see what it represents. His blood shed for me. I'm not worthy. Can never be worthy by anything I do other than trusting His word of covenant and taking it seriously. He died for me. Christ died for the ungodly. And as I look at this cup, I can claim the promise, take His covenant serious. I'm made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. That's enough. Why the bread? Because the Lord, as I've just said, laid on Him our sicknesses, our pains, punished Him, put the punishment on Him to restore to us shalom, which means health and well-being in its all-inclusive meaning. And with His stripes we were healed. For every one of you out there, say it with me, Lord, you shouldn't have. But since you did, I'm going to count heavily on it. With His stripes, I was healed.